I think we'll stay standing to pray this afternoon. Let's pray. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, says Paul, he is a new creation. Our gracious Father, we praise you for this extraordinary work of power and majesty, that you could create somebody anew to love you and want to serve you and to dwell with you in eternity. And as we're surrounded by so much that works against that, we pray, our Father God, you would strengthen us in our understanding of ourselves and in our understanding of the Lord Jesus, for your name's sake. Amen. Please sit down. May I welcome you very warmly again to St. Helens, especially if you're here as a visitor. It's always a great thing to be able to welcome newcomers here amongst us. I hope you'll be able to join us regularly, Tuesday by Tuesday, or on a Thursday when the talk is repeated. Just to draw to your attention, I've been asked to advertise the tape of last week. Vijay Menon, if you've known him, has been jumping up and down and rattling off dozens of these tapes and saying, do take one. Special offer, apparently they're £3, I think, or two for a fiver, or one for a fiver, if you like that, actually, for that matter. We'd be very happy for that, or one for a tenner. But do get, it's very much part of this week's talk. They come as a pair, and if you missed last week, you might like to pick that up. The series will be out later on. And then next week is a special invitation meeting. Do please try and come. It's such a help to those of us who will be bringing people next week, if you're able to be here, so there's a big crowd of us encouraging each other. And do ask people from the office. Remember last week we were seeing that once we see Jesus clearly, we can never see anybody else the same way again. That was Paul's point. And the point being that once he sees clearly that Jesus is Lord of all, judge of all, and has died for all, then he's never able to look at anybody in his office, on the tube, the person who he buys his newspaper from, whatever it happens to be, the same way again. Because he looks at that person and says, I know you're going to face Jesus in judgment. And I know he's died for you. So you must hear the good news of Jesus Christ in order that you can take your place in his family for eternity. And that should govern, I think, the way we see people this week, and be thinking early about who you're going to invite next week, and do come with somebody. If you can't bring somebody, come anyone, that'd be a great encouragement. It'd be great to be packed out. Well, some of us will remember that great band, The Who. Do you remember the 70s? Maybe you'd rather forget the 70s, I don't know. But Mama's Got a Jukebox, Daddy Never Sleeps at Night, do you remember that? He's a Pinball Wizard, My Generation. They were particularly well known and popular in the musical instrument industry because they used to smash all their instruments on stage at the end of the performance. Do you remember that? Maybe, obviously, you don't. Some don't, anyway. I mention them because of one of their songs for which they were most famous was Who Are You? It had a few more lyrics than that. It went, who are you, ooh, 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 ooh. But, I mean, that was basically the tone of it, wasn't it? Who are you? And that really is the issue that we're looking at today. Who are you? Because if last week, look at verse 16b of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're on page 1163. Last week, you see, Paul said, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. 2 Corinthians 5:16. So, because of who Jesus is, because he sees Jesus clearly, he can't see anybody else the same way again. Wherever he goes, he sees someone who will meet Jesus in judgment and who needs to hear of Jesus' death for them. But this week, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, wherever he goes, wherever he looks at himself differently because he sees Jesus clearly. And he says of himself, I am a new creation. Again, let me ask you, if I were to, I've written it on the inside of the sheet there, you can see the introduction on the inside there. If you were to complete the phrase, I am, dot, 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 how would you finish it off in not less than 20 words? I am, who are you? I mean, I guess people would answer that question in any number of different ways. Some, genetically, I am the child of. I belong to such and such a family. Some racially, I'm Chinese, Japanese, American, French, English. Some relationally, I am the partner of, I am the husband or wife of. Some socially, I am part of this set. More likely, I think, increasingly, particularly in the city, but in our secular materialist culture, we will answer the question, who am I, according to the values of secular materialism. I am a broker. I am a banker. I am an analyst, an accountant. I am a PA, a postman. Or, if not professionally, in our secular materialist culture, we might answer the question experientially, because actually in our culture, experience is what a lot of people live for and how a lot of people define themselves. I surf, I ski, I go for holidays in the Bahamas, I do this at the weekend. It's all about experience. Or economically, I am worth so much. You see, the governing kind of defining grid of our culture will impact the way we see ourselves. It's bound to be the case, isn't it? If secular materialism is the grid that our culture lives under, then we will define ourselves in a secular materialist kind of way. This is what I do. This is who I am. It's what I do. And a mixture of those things together. These are some of my experiences. And of course, who we think we are inevitably has a huge influence on the way we shape our lives. You remember Bridget Jones's diaries? I mean, they were brilliantly observed and hugely funny, weren't they? But for Bridget Jones, you know, she defined herself relationally. If she wasn't in a relationship, she wasn't. And therefore, she lived for the next relationship. That was it. But we can find lots of people who define themselves professionally and, you know, I am a corporate lawyer. And if you define, well, I'm not actually, thankfully, but I mean, if you are a corporate lawyer and you define yourself by profession, then the thing that will drive and govern all your priorities and concerns will be, must be partner, must be best performing partner, must be senior partner, until eventually your dead partner. But do you see the point? Secular materialism, that's the defining grid. What I want us to see and what Paul wants us to see today is once we see Jesus clearly, the defining grid, the way in which we see ourselves will change. Not just we'll see everybody else differently, but if we see Jesus clearly, we will start to see ourselves totally differently. And I hope we will go out from here today seeing ourselves differently. And you can see, 2 points, I am a new creation. You can see from the little word in and therefore in verse 17 that Paul wants us to look at Jesus in order to understand and define our own self. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The therefore takes us back to verse 16. We now regard Jesus differently. And this is revision, but you will remember Paul sees Jesus according to verse 14. One has died for all. Do you see it? Halfway down verse 14. One has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for self, but for him. So here we are. Jesus died. As Jesus died on the cross, he carried God's judgment at the sin of the world. Prior to Jesus' death, it's as if every human being who ever lived carried around their neck a great sign saying, I will face death and judgment. I've rejected God, pushed him to the edge of my life, and therefore I will face death and then judgment. But Jesus died for all. And therefore the all, that's those who trust in Jesus. Because they trust in Jesus and Jesus has paid for their rejection of God, can step out from under that banner of condemnation to say, I'm now free from it because Jesus bore it for me on the cross, and therefore no longer have this great banner hanging over our lives, and we are free, therefore, to live for Christ. And having paid for the judgment on sin, Jesus rose. Prior to Jesus' death, there was no hope of resurrection for us beyond the grave. Spiritually dead people facing God in judgment. But following the death and resurrection of Jesus, those who were once spiritually dead are free to live. A new power comes into us from Christ, if we are in Christ, to live for him, the risen Lord Jesus. And that's Paul's point in verse 14. That's revision. He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for self. And therefore, those who are in Christ, who have been joined to Christ, who belong to Christ, have entered a whole new sphere of existence. New creation. Free from spiritual death, free from spiritual judgment. Made alive to live for God. New creation. I don't think the language of being in Christ is that hard to understand. I mean, you talk about being in the city, don't you? And your whole, that's the sphere in which you operate down here in London. I used to talk about being in the Royal Green Jackets. That covered the kind of sphere. That was the sphere in which I operated. I've got here my birth certificate. I was born on May the 26th, 19. It's none of your business. And my parents are X and Y. And from this birth, I have membership. You could say I'm in the family of Edward and Caroline Taylor. All the genetic profile, the habits, the likenesses of the family have been transferred to me. But because it's a human family, just like your family, I too bear the marks of sinful human beings. I carry Adam's heritage, if you like. And therefore, if this is the only family I am part of, then I am spiritually dead because of my rejection of God and rebellion against him. But if I am in Christ, well, the head of this family has paid the price for my rejection of God. He has been raised to new life. And now, because I am in him, he died the death for me, and I am free now with this new life from him to live to God. I am, as Paul puts it, a new creation. Not that I'm never going to sin again. No, we will all go on sinning till we get to heaven. But that our sphere of existence is one where there is no judgment. I've been made alive. I am free to live. Now, I hope you see, you know, this isn't just the kind of headmaster at school saying, oh, well, you must pull your socks up. This isn't just sort of patching up the old Renault Espace and hoping it will run for another few years. This is a brand new creation that Paul is talking about in the Christian person. So that the power that called the millions of stars into existence has operated in you if you belong to Christ. And you have been made new, a new creation, a sphere of existence that is new with spiritual life to live for God. I wonder how you define yourself. Experientially, you know, this is what I do. Professionally, I'm in the city. Socially, here is my social set. Economically, I'm worth so much. Racially, I'm Japanese, French, English, whatever. Paul says, once he sees Jesus clearly, he no longer sees himself the same way. I am a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. So I live for Christ. Now, I don't want to apply this yet, because I want us to take this second part of the verse. It's actually not the second part of the verse, a second look at the verse. And what I want to do now is to read the verse to you as it is in the original language. I mean, I've gone to the boffins, and this is how they tell me it goes. And I want you to notice the difference. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. Do you see the difference? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. Not just he is a new creation, but new creation. And I think Paul's point is that once he sees Jesus clearly, the risen Lord who has conquered death, So he sees that there is a whole new world order, a whole new creation, where death is no longer the end, where sin has been conquered, and where God's long-promised new heaven and new earth is on the way. And therefore, if Paul is in Christ, not just I am a new creation, but I am part of the new creation. Because Jesus, the first person who has been raised from dead, has stepped back from the boundary of death, if you like, gone through it, through the barrier, to open up a whole new creation. Where if we belong to Jesus, there is a whole new existence beyond life in a relationship that begins now and extends into eternity. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. I no longer see Jesus the same way. I now see Jesus differently. I realize that he is the Christ. He's risen from the dead. He's paid for sin. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. We're not just confined to this fallen world with all its frustration and sin and damage and decay. New creation. Do you see, it's much bigger than it feels initially. Let me give you a bit of an illustration. That, by the way, explains why Paul says, chapter 5, verse 1, "For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God." Because if I'm in Christ, new creation. There's a whole new heaven and earth waiting for me. That's why he says, verse 9 of chapter 5, "Whether we are at home or away," that is, at home, or away from heaven, "we make it our aim to please him," because we're looking for the new creation. Let me give you an illustration. Back in August 1492, Christopher Columbus set sail from Port Palos in Spain. I think that's how you say it. If you're here as Spanish, forgive me for my pronunciation. Up to that point in 1492, the generally accepted view was that the world was flat. And you can imagine the skeptics, can't you, as they stood on the beach and waved farewell to Christopher Columbus. How dare he challenge our view of the world? He'll lead others astray. He ought to be stopped. We shouldn't have let him go. He'll fall off the edge. But 7 months later, in March 1493, as Christopher Columbus rounded the Cape of Port Palos, having discovered the New World, can of Coke in one hand, pack of Marlboro Lights in the other, the skeptics could never see the world the same way again. For his appearance from the place beyond their horizon demonstrated that there was a whole new world. It was the start of a new way of seeing things. A whole new life experience. Baked beans and all the rest of it. Well, now, there was Paul, the skeptic. More than that, the arch-antagonist. He not only disbelieved Jesus, he also went out of his way to persecute Jesus' followers. How dare Jesus challenge our way of seeing things? He'll lead others astray. He must be stopped. And then on the Damascus Road, Jesus appeared to Paul. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And once Paul saw Jesus clearly, why, he can never see himself the same way again. Because one had died for all, death had been defeated. Not only was Paul a new creation, he was part of this new creation where Jesus, who had defeated death, paid for sin, opened up a whole new existence as part of the new heaven and the new earth, a new creation. So, do you see what I'm trying to say? It's much bigger than just, oh, well, little me, I am a new creation. I am part of this huge new creation. That's where I belong. That's my home. That's where I'm going. That's what I will live for, says Paul. Well, let me ask you again, who do you say you are? If you're here as somebody who's looking into the Christian faith, it's great to see you here, and may I welcome you very warmly indeed. I hope there are lots of people brought along this Tuesday come to investigate the Christian faith. A warm welcome to you. Inevitably, when I ask you the question, who are you? You are going to define yourself, inevitably, according to the limited horizons of this world. You can't do anything but that. And therefore, inevitably, you will define yourself genetically. I am the child of, in the family of, or racially, I am of such and such a country, or relationally, I am partner of so-and-so, or socially, I'm part of this set. Because the horizons are limited. They have to be. And inevitably, then, you will face the fear and insecurity that comes from living in God's world with a limited horizon. If you define yourself professionally, what happens when the job comes to an end? If you define yourself economically, what happens when the money runs out? If you define yourself relationally, what happens when the relationship finishes? Paul says there is a whole new horizon which you, if you have not yet seen who Jesus is, you haven't yet seen, you haven't yet discovered. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. Jesus has gone beyond death. Jesus has opened up the possibility of a relationship with God. Jesus has opened up heaven to you. And you today could become a new creation, because the verse says anyone, and Paul murdered Christians for a living before Jesus started a new work in his life. As we close, let me turn to those of us who would call ourselves Christians, which will be the majority, I guess. These verses are really written to Christians, Christians who stopped seeing themselves the way Paul sees himself. And I guess they've started to define themselves in Corinth purely in terms of this world. So if you'd said to a Corinthian, who do you say you are? I suspect they would have said, well, I'm a PA who's a Christian. Or I'm a wife or a husband who's a Christian. Or I'm a banker who's a Christian. Paul says, that is really worrying. Because once we see Jesus clearly, we won't say, oh, I'm a banker who happens to be a Christian. We will say, I am a new creation. My home is the new creation. That's where I belong. That's where I live. That's what I'm here for. That's my whole sphere of existence. I am a new creation who happens to be a banker for the time being. But I am a new creation. I've got a friend who's Welsh. I'm not saying that just to kind of show off or demonstrate how broad-minded I am. Nor am I saying I've got a friend who is Welsh, everyone should have one, you know, in a sort of way. But my friend, when England are playing at any sport, will support whichever side England are playing against. It's an extraordinary phenomenon. England are playing rugby against Australia, he cheers the Wallabies. England are playing football against Germany, he sings Deutschland, Deutschland. So convinced is he of his identity and where he belongs, and of the security that is his, because he will always be welcomed into God's own country, that he is prepared to support, no matter how small the minority, no matter how great the opposition, and no matter how hopeless the cause. And he is quite used to supporting hopeless causes. But because he is convinced of his identity, who he stands up, because he knows where he belongs. He holds his head high because he knows that he will always be welcomed home. He lives as a Welshman. I wonder who you would say you were this afternoon. It's a good question, isn't it? Who am I? Paul says if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. The new heaven and the new earth await us. Well, why don't we talk about that over lunch? We'd love you to stay for lunch and ask the person who brought you. Who do you say you are? Let's pray. He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Our Father God, we praise you for the love of Christ, that he should have entered our sinful world, gone to the cross, and borne our sin. We praise you for this new creation, this work of yours, and we pray that even today there might be some who, in whom you start this work, in our offices, here in the city. Please would you do this wonderful work, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us to see ourselves the way we truly are, to recognize our real home and our true identity. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.